Radio Prague News. The coalition government will discuss all planned reforms with the opposition and trade unions. The Agriculture Ministry suggests raising the forest harvesting quota following gale force wind devastation. And stunning victories for Shafarova, Vajisova and Berdych in Sunday's Australian Open matches. The coalition government of the Civic Democrats, Christian Democrats and the Greens will discuss all planned reform with the opposition and trade unions. In a Czech TV interview on Sunday, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek said the debate will have to take place simply because the coalition does not have a majority in the lower house of parliament and relies on the vote of at least one opposition MP. Mr. Topolánek also reiterated that the opposition Social Democrats will be offered posts in commissions formed to put some of the reforms in place. The EU needs a new, simpler and more comprehensible constitution document that will allow the union to work effectively even after further expansion, Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek says. Speaking in the same Czech TV interview, Mr. Topolánek said the Czech Republic would not ratify the European Constitution Agreement in its current form. The ratification process of the document was halted after France and the Netherlands rejected it. However, Germany hopes to revive the document during its EU presidency, and the issue is expected to be one of the main points of discussion during German Chancellor Angela Merkel's visit to Prague on Friday. The newly elected Agriculture Minister, Petr Gandalovic, will propose to government to increase the quota for forest harvesting. Recent gale force winds have devastated an estimated 70% of the annual quota, covering an area of 5 million cubic meters. Mr. Gandalovic says the measure is imperative to avoid a catastrophic spread of engraver beetles that attack fresh wind-felled trees. Some 7,000 homes are still without electricity after gale force winds damaged reception points on Thursday night. According to electricity giant CEZ, the power supply to most of the 1 million people who were left without electricity has been resumed, but repairing the damages caused in mountain areas or distant isolated places will take another day or two. A little over half of the population believe that two Social Democrat MPs who made it possible for the centre-right coalition government to gain a vote of confidence were disloyal to their party, an opinion poll suggests. Miloš Melčák and Michal Pohanka left the Chamber of Deputies to give the ruling coalition's Civic Democrat, Christian Democrat and Green Party MPs a majority during Friday's vote. In the poll, conducted by the STEM agency, 52% of respondents said the two MPs betrayed their party, while 48% believe that their decision was right and responsible. And some sport now. Lucia Shafarzova gave a stunning victory against defending champion Amélie Mauresmo of France in the fourth round of the Australian Open on Sunday. The 19-year-old Czech, who ranks 70th in the world, will play Nicole Vajdishova, seeded 10th in the quarterfinals. Vajdishova defeated Russian 7th seed Elena Dementieva to become the highest-ranked player in that half of the draw. It will be the first all-Czech women's quarterfinal in a Grand Slam since Denisa Hladková played Jana Novotná at Wimbledon in 1997. In the men's third-round matches carried over from Saturday's rain suspensions, Czech 13th seed Tomáš Berdych, Shafarzová's boyfriend, overcame Russian Dmitry Turzunov and will face third seed Nikolai Davidenko on Monday. A quick look at the weather. Overcast skies, showers and snow in the higher altitudes are expected in the next few days. The start of the week will see temperatures fall to reach daytime lows of minus 3 degrees Celsius. I'm Dita Asiedu, and that's the end of the news.
Hello, I'm Colin O'Connor, and you're listening to Radio Prague. the International Service of Czech Radio. In today's programme, Pavla Horáková answers your letters and emails in this week's mailbox. Pavla is also with us today for our regular Letter from Prague. And in this week's edition of Encore, we talk to legendary Czech composer Oldřich Korte. Time for this week's mailbox now with Pavla Horáková.
Welcome to Radio Prague's Sunday mailbox program, in which we read from your letters and answer your questions. As we have said many times before, we very much appreciate your comments on the form and content of our broadcasts. As Radio Prague broadcasts around the globe and our audience is so diverse, we are always very grateful if you just let us know what you think, or even just that you are out there listening to our programs, like, for example, Rolf Sorrentino from the state of New York.
It's been a long time and many years, but I was able to find my old shortwave radio and I can't wait to tune in to Radio Prague. I haven't listened to my shortwave in probably 25 years, but I remember the fun I had listening to you in the past. I remember the QSL cards, the monthly schedules, slides of Czechoslovakia, all great memories. Obviously, since then, many things have changed in the world and in your country, but I cannot wait to begin my hobby again. I thought you'd be interested.
Yes, indeed we are, and thank you very much for letting us know. We are aware that not all those who might be interested in what Radio Prague has to offer possess shortwave receivers or have the chance to tune into our programmes because of reception conditions. That part of our audience can enjoy the benefits of the internet, such as Charles Konechny from Ohio, who follows Radio Prague's website regularly and made this comment in his recent email.
I just wish my parents were still alive, so they could enjoy the internet. It would be like going back to the Czech Republic every day.
The internet is indeed a great medium, and thanks to its nature, it can connect people across time. This week we received an email from Mr. Josef Svoboda, who lives here in the Czech Republic. He responds to a listener's request posted on our website more than 4 years ago, but it's still available there as everything we broadcast. This is the English translation of Mr. Svoboda's letter.
While browsing the internet, I came across your article from October 22, 2002, where you wrote that your listener, Marisa Churchward, from Ontario, Canada, was looking for any piece of information about a single record by singers Petr and Pavel, with the songs Láska, Láska and Wenceslas Square. I don't know whether someone has contacted you in this matter since, but I would be very much interested in it because I have been trying to find out what has become of the Petr and Pavel duo, who emigrated in 1968. And released a single in England. As a matter of fact, I own a copy of the record. Could you please put me in touch with Mrs. Churchward?
A fascinating story, isn't it? Since it has been more than 4 years, we no longer have any contact details for Mrs. Churchward, but if she's listening to us right now or reads this website, she can contact us at english@radio.cz and we can pass on this information to her. Staying with recent history, Terry Price, who's a teacher in Texas, sent us this request.
While listening to Radio Prague archives, I found a story about how Radio Prague was attacked and shut down during the demonstrations in 1989, and about other unofficial radio stations that were used to help communicate information about the protests. They were able to remain undetected by only broadcasting for 15 minutes at a time. I have since not been able to find the article. Can you give me information about the article, including the link? I wish to play the recording for my class, if possible.
Now, I'm afraid that what you describe in your email sounds more like the events of the summer of 1968, when Soviet troops invaded Czechoslovakia. As I am told by my colleagues who were working here at the time of the Velvet Revolution, nothing so dramatic was going on here at Czechoslovak Radio. My colleagues can even remember Western TV crews recording freely in the studios as the events of November 1989 were unfolding and Radio Prague was reporting on them. And finally, it's time to repeat our competition question for January. This month, we would like to know the name of a Jesuit missionary born in Brno who worked as a botanist and pharmacist in the Philippines, where he also died in 1706. Half a century later, the Swedish scientist Carl Linné named a genus of flowering plants after him in his honour. Please send us your answers by the end of January to english@radio.cz or Radio Prague, 12099 Prague, the Czech Republic, which are also the addresses for your reception reports. Till next week, thanks for listening.
Pavla Horakova is also here with our regular letter from Prague.
A temperature record after temperature record is being broken this week. Looking out of the window, one would hardly guess it's the middle of January, supposedly the severest month in this part of the world. The human memory is short, and although we cannot deny that winters have been generally mild these last few years, warm winters are not an entirely new phenomenon. A daily newspaper recently wrote that in the early 1970s, there were four mild winters in a row, and the central planners of the time started making bold prognoses regarding potential savings in the construction business and the energy sector were the climate to change. The winter of 1974 was reportedly very similar to this one. A meteorologist whom the paper interviewed said that that winter was actually the warmest since records first started being kept at Prague's Clementinum in 1775. That winter apparently was a culmination of a warm period which began in 1971. At that time, no one linked this to global warming, but reports did start emerging then that climate change could be influenced by the economic activities of humankind. The meteorologist also said that in the 1970s, the warm weather in Czechoslovakia helped mitigate a difficult energy situation at the end of the fifth five-year plan. He says the country's energy reserves were so low then that the mild winters prevented a serious energy crisis and virtually saved the regime. Considering it was so soon after the 1968 Soviet invasion, the communist authorities needed to prove to the public that socialism was the most advantageous of political systems. At that time, the planners envisaged huge savings in the construction business, be it insulation or the thickness of roofs, which would no longer be exposed to large quantities of snow. But then, in the 1980s, harsh winters came back with a vengeance. It will probably forever remain speculation whether the warm winters 30 years ago postponed the impending death of communism, or at least eased fears of public unrest. But it now looks almost certain that this winter will go easy on my gas bill.
Time for this week's Encore now, with David Vaughan.
Welcome again to Encore, our programme devoted to classical music in and from the Czech Republic. Now, even if he had never written another work in his life, the Czech composer Oldřich Korte would deserve immortality just for his sonata for piano, which we'll be hearing in a couple of minutes. The work was composed between 1951 and 1953, when Korte was still in his mid-twenties and virtually unknown. But it's recognised today as one of the great piano sonatas of the 20th century, as a particular favourite of Korte's long-standing friend, the American pianist Garrick Ohlsson, who has helped to carry its fame abroad. The sonata is special in several respects, not least because of the ways it reflects Korte's extraordinary life over the troubled years of communist rule. His biography reads like an adventure story, including episodes as a fireman, building worker and truck driver, when he refused to compromise with the regime. During the thaw of the 1960s, he appeared in over 3,000 performances over four continents as a soloist with the celebrated Magic Lantern Troupe. The troupe is famous for blending music, mainly jazz, with stage and film action, and is still going strong today. Now 80, Oldřich Korte is himself still full of energy, and Patricia Goodson caught up with him at his flat in Prague's Vinohrady district to talk about his work, and in particular about the piano sonata. He started by telling her why it is so hard to categorize him as a composer.
I try to make such a music that will be timeless. Practically, I'm out of all avant-garde. I have seen that nobody asks today if Mendelssohn, Brahms, or Dvořák, or Tchaikovsky have been modern. They have been not. For that reason, I refuse to ignore tonality, refuse to write music without melody, without rhythm. These are constant values.
And I think one thing I would say I really enjoy in your sonata, for example, the piano sonata, is there's one thing that's very rare in modern music, which is part of it is very joyful sounding. You know, it's happy. I don't know how to use, you know, which adjective, but that's such a rare quality in contemporary music. It's, you get a lot of angst and difficulty and storm and stress, but you don't get anything that's ebullient and sunny. And you have that in the first movement of this sonata.
It's interesting that you say it. I composed the sonata first, the second movement, which is very dramatic and also tragic. And when it was finished, I have recognized that it's not possible this way to begin. And that was the reason why I searched opposite contrast to that second movement, which will follow. And I searched for something what is bright, but not tragic, not that it must be balanced.
That was part of the first movement of the Sonata for Piano by Oldřich Korte, performed by Ivan Moravec in 1984 in the Rudolfinum Concert Hall here in Prague, and released on a Supraphon CD. So now let's go back to Oldřich Korte in conversation with Patricia Goodson to find out more about the Piano Sonata.
And so the second movement came from a very moving personal experience you had, I think, overhearing the dying words of a very ill man. Am I right with that?
Yes, it is. It is true. It is some inspiring moment. Of course, I didn't want to write music that describes this experience, but this experience was inspiring me, and it was a very strong experience with dying men who sang. Then always he was in some dream, and again came to the same rhythm and melody of his. It was not song, it was very, very short.
Chant.
Yes, yes. And as I understood, his singing had always the same sense. He prepared himself for death, but not tragically. He felt it like his duty. And he helped me also that beginning a little bit tragic melody and rhythm was transcending more to the dramatic but firm form, and with a triumphal finale, with a triumphal end.
I think what is also important about this piece for you is it helped you get through a difficult time during the 50s when things were, life was very, very hard here in the Czech Republic. And so maybe this also helped you.
Yes, it can be said this way. Do you know, practically in that time I tried to separate maximally of all reality around. I was living in solitude in South Bohemia, in Wood. And it was probably the only way how I could survive. If it was not possible to emigrate, and I had many difficulties with the normal life, and it was life full of conflict with the official people of regime. So such a thing like this was for me very important, and I can say that the sonata bring me for a certain time some liberation.
I think the sonata is certainly one of the great sonatas of the 20th century, a great legacy. Can you tell us a little about the premiere of this work?
When I came, it was announced that we are sorry, but the sonata will be not played because the interpreter of sonata, Josef Hala, was sent to Moscow. It was a very important thing. And it was announced to the auditory. And I felt that this is a fatal moment of my life. And I said to the auditory, no, I will play it myself. And I must say it was one of the most great and most celebrated day of my life.
The composer Oldřich Korte in conversation with Patricia Goodson. And by the way, his name is spelled K-O-R-T-E. We'll end the program with the second movement of his extraordinary and immensely powerful sonata for piano, performed by Ivan Moravec. Don't forget that you can hear this program again on www.radio.cz or read the interview in text. But for the time being, from me, David Vaughan, and all of us here at Radio Prague, goodbye. Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, Ondes Courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kilohertz. Sept heures, 7h27, 5930, 7345, Europe. 8h30, 8h57, 9860, 11600, Europe. Dix-sept heures trente, 17h57, 5930, 15710, Europe, Afrique centrale. 19h30, 19h57, 5930, 9430, Europe, Afrique. 23h, 23h27, 5930, 7345, Amérique du Nord. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz/français. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site www.radio.cz/français.